lesson this morning, our epistle lesson, comes from Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 9, and may be found in the Pew Bible on page 198. Philippians 4, verses 1 through 9. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Urge Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, and I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. When you read that Exodus passage, it's like, what in the world is in these guys' mind? God has been in front of them and behind them as they left Egypt. They knew they were oppressed. There was water brought from a rock at Horeb when they were thirsty. They've rebelled. Now they're at the foot of Mount Sinai. This cloud is covering. They know Moses is up there talking to the Most High. And we know in Exodus 20, what did he give them? He gave them the Ten Commandments. And one of those Ten Commandments was what? No graven image. They will have no God before me. And Aaron, his own brother. You got to ask yourself, what were they thinking? Okay, all right, step back. What were they thinking? How about you and me in today's day and age? What do we think about? Do we think about the glory of God, or do we think about what's going on in our lives? The trials and tribulations. How many of you have a night? It's a rhetorical question. How many of you have a nice home and a nice car? And how many, rhetorical question, no hands, please. The parsonage is a very nice place. We'll just let that be said. And so many of us look at the right education or the right diploma on the wall. We look at things to pursue, and we look at them to be a measure of success or accomplishment. And yes, in the worldly sense, we're in the world. But we're called to be in the world, but not of the world. We should be thinking of those things that are higher than just our immediate needs. You know, when we pick up and deliver and distribute the food to people who don't have, then you know what? We're not thinking about us. We're thinking about them. Yeah, is it going to make you feel better about yourself? I hope and pray you do. Yes, indeed. But that should not be the primary motive for you doing those things. When I look at this young guy and say, hallelujah, how are you going? How are things going on with you today? And when I've come in a couple of Sundays and say, what do I usually say? This is the day the Lord has made, and he's right in there. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. And where did the people's minds go? They wanted to celebrate, but they wanted to have a God. They wanted to have gods to go before them. They wanted to pray to a God who they could mold into something that they could recognize and they could control. That's why there's no graven image, because that would be the only image we can have of God. You know what God is? The image of God is all of creation, the good, the bad, that newborn baby child. That parent who was just racked with cancer and has passed away and is laying there in a casket. That's the image of God, because that is life itself. The good, the bad, everything in between. What do we worship? We worship somebody who we cannot. We worship somebody who is not going to be defined by us as somebody. We worship God, even Yahweh. They would not even say His name. The Jews would not say His name for fear of offending Him. Because if you can name it, you can control it in the ancient cultures. When God sent Moses to Egypt, what did He tell him? Tell him, I am who I am sent you. He didn't say, I'm the great fiery God who created heaven and earth and all that things. And He didn't give him a whole laundry list. He just said, I am. Tell him that I am sent you. And how quickly they turn away. But are we so unlike them? Fast forward to Paul's day, the church at Philippi. And these are the friends that he has who he has been celebrating. He has written a letter to them, this church at Philippi, and he is so happy and so pleased with the things that are going on in their lives and in the life of their church and their shared ministries. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Goodness gracious, it's dripping. This is a love letter written to a people who he feels have done and are doing things appropriate to God's message through Christ Jesus. And Paul's letters were written specifically to a place, a time, a church, and to a particular instance. And he answers that. Now, the beauty of it is, even though it was written at that time, for those people, it has relevancy for us today. Because you could put any two leading women in a church, their names in place of Euodia and Syntyche, and say, okay, let them be of the same mind in the Lord. Somehow there's a disagreement between these two leading ladies in the church. And for those who say women aren't supposed to speak in church, Paul says that in 1 Corinthians, I know, but let's not take it out of context. He was speaking to that particular instance. If you don't have women as leaders in church, then why would you address a letter as important as this and say, Euodia and Syntyche? He's putting them right in front. And then he says, yes, and I also ask you, my loyal companion, help these women. Now, if there aren't women in leadership positions in the church, in the ancient church, I don't know what Bible you're reading. Women have been vessels of God's holy word and message and work from the beginning. Any of you guys know Ruth and Esther? Eve? Mary? You know, to name a few. But let's look at also what he's saying here. You know, he's said first so that he can maybe get these two Christian ladies to be of the same mind of Christ, so that they're not wobbling or know what their issue was. We don't know what their issue was. It's not saved, but it was important enough for Paul to write to him to say, peace, ladies, peace. Be of the same mind of Christ, because we got good work to do. And then he exhorts them. The word that's the Greek word is paranesis, and it's an exhortation. What he's doing is he's first said, okay, you guys be of one mind, and then he goes into it. Help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. The book of life. What does that mean? The book of life, that means God knows who you are, and He's written your name in a book of life. And that's life, not death. God is a God of life, not death. You know, our physical bodies are going to wear out. We know that. Sue, we know you're 90. And we celebrate every minute. We celebrate every moment. We should. But we know there will be an end. It always happens. Whether it's cancer, whether it's an automobile accident, whether it's a piano falling out of a building. Who knows? But somehow, our lives on this earth are going to end. And if our names are written on that book of life, then our souls are going to spend an eternity with God. That thief on the cross, Jesus said to him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Hallelujah! Not wait till next week. Not wait till you're baptized in the River Jordan, fully immersed. He says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And because this, he says, rejoice. Rejoice what? Rejoice in your own power? Rejoice in your own intelligence? Rejoice in your own wisdom? No, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Who gives us the good and great things? Who gives us the trials and tribulations? Who gives us the cough? Who gives us that healing grace? Who gives us that motherly love, that fatherly love? Who gives us that? God does. Because everything that's there, He created. So if you get it, it had to come from God. You didn't make it. He did. We get a part in it, which is great and glorious. But He did it. It's so important to Him. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Not just the ones you like. Everyone. Well, I don't know them. I'm not comfortable with them. Oh, they stink. Yeah, well, people have been telling me that for a long time, too, but I take a shower regularly. But let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by what? By prayer and supplication. By what? I'm not worrying. Prayer and supplication. What is supplication? I am calling on the name of the Lord. I am laying my petition before Him. I am empowering Him to come into my life and give me what I need. The wisdom, the power, the grace, the strength, the perseverance. Whatever it is I need to get through this moment or get to the next moment, I'm asking God to give it to me. Because where else is it going to come from? What other price am I going to pay? God gives it to me and all I have to do is have faith in Him. Boy, is that cheap? No. It seems cheap, but you know what? You have to surrender your faith in your own self to have faith in God. You have to surrender faith in yourself. Oh, I can do it. I'm capable of doing so many things. I want to do that myself. You know, when you're growing up as a child and you look at your mom and dad, "Look, Dad, I did that all by myself." And your dad is sitting back there saying, "Okay." Or that young girl who has made a, you know, the kid who's made a treehouse, "I did that all by myself." Or the young lady or young guy, it's not sexist, comes and makes this great pie, or it's made out of mud, or whatever, and "I did it all by myself." And, okay, yes. God makes everything, and He makes it great. By your prayer and supplication, with what? With thanksgiving. This is not just Turkey Day in November. This is Thanksgiving. What we have, God gave us. What we have was given to us. What we have was not ours before. And the beauty of it is, what we have is not going to be ours for very long. The car, the house, the property, the clothes, the shoes, whatever it is. Let your requests be made known to God. Let go and let God. Let go, let God. And this is a thought that we should have right there anytime there's turmoil, anytime there's a question, anytime there's doubt, anytime there's despair. This verse 7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Read this. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. I don't know how I get it. I don't know how He's going to make me feel peaceful. I don't know how I'm going to get through this, the knowledge that my brother's died of cancer or my brother comes from an automobile accident and they're not thinking he's going to live or walk again. Hey, oh, great and powerful is our God. Wonderful things we can count on Him. It surpasses all understanding. Guard our hearts and our minds. Why? Because we're supposed to love our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our minds, and with all our strength. Jesus paraphrased the Ten Commandments. And to love thy neighbors as thyself. All 10 of those commandments. Love thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. If our hearts and minds are fixed on Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, this is where it really gets nice. We're not getting out of here before 12:30. Well, maybe. Finally, beloved, He is talking to them. This is so intimate. This is not some overly educated Pharisee who's writing a missive to people saying, you know what? I'm smarter than all of you guys, so you got to believe and understand and take and have faith in what I write. No, He says, beloved. I love how Paul just says, look, I am right there with you. My heart, my soul, my body, my life is right there with you in all of this. And he says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, whatever it is you would tell, whatever it is you would tell Sydney, this is what you need to do. This is a good thing. Whatever Sierra might hear, this is a good thing to do. That's commendable. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, what? Use your mind and think about it. Think about it. Think about those things. Put your mind and focus your minds on things that are pure, things that are commendable, things that are honorable, things that are just. Put your mind there instead of on those things, those other things. Pleasurable. Think and focus your pleasure on things that bring other people pleasure rather than your own self-pleasure. Oh, I love driving fast in a car. I mean, the first automobile I had was a 1974 MGB. I was an E5. I was in Norfolk, Virginia, driving down Virginia Beach, a 1974 MGB convertible, top down. Oh, was I in heaven? Not. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was fun. It's a super image. But that's not the heaven. That was pleasure, yes, absolutely. But you know what? I had more pleasure walking in there yesterday and seeing my brother work with Warren. That's pleasure. Oh, think about those things. When you are in a dark despair, you need to have those happy moments. Think about those things. Capture them. Retain them. And when it's deepest and darkest, you can pull those out again. And who gives them to you? God, Christ Jesus gives them to you. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen? Ugh. Think about these things. And the other thing is, it's not just thought. It's keep on doing the things that we know we're supposed to do. Keep on doing the things that God has already told us to do. To love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. To do unto our brothers and sisters. To love them just as we love ourselves. Rejoice. 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 Because God loves a smiling face. God loves a joyful heart. And you know what? Everybody else likes to see a smile on your face a lot more than a frown. Peace and shalom be with you. Amen.